Read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, text 13 and 14. Samam kaya shiro grivam. Sixth chapter, text 13 and 14. There are more books. Knige? Shyama? Shyama? Knige? Come, Chief Jago. Take book, Knige. Sixth chapter, text 13 and 14. Samam kaya shiro grivam. Dharaya nachalam stira. Sampreksha nasika gransvam. Tishascha. Chanavalokayan Prasantatma Vigatabir Brahmachari Pratestitaha Manasam Yamyamachchito Yukta Asitamatparaha Samam Kaya Shiro Krivam Tarayana chalan stira. Tarayan achalam stira. Sampreksha nasika gramsvam. Tishaschana valokayan. Rasana tatma vigavir. Prasantatma vikatabhir Brahmachari pratestitaha Manak samyamya machchito Yukta asitamatpara Samam straight Kaya jira Body and head. Grivam, neck. Dharayan, holding. Achalam, unmoved. Stira, still. Sampreksha, looking. Nasika, nose. Agram, tip. Svam, on. Disha, all sides. Cha, also, anavalokyayan, not seeing, prashanta, unagitated, atma, mind, vigata, be, devoid of fear, brahmachari, vrate, in the vow of celibacy, stita, situated, mana, mind, samyamya, completely subdued. Mat, unto me, Krishna. Chitta, concentrated. Yukta, the actual yogi. Asita, being so. Mat, unto me, para, ultimate goal. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One should hold one's body, neck and head erect in a straight line and stare steadily at the tip of the nose. Thus, with an unagitated, subdued mind, devoid of fear, completely free from sex life, one should meditate upon me within the heart and make me the ultimate goal of life. Purport. The goal of life is to know Krishna, who is situated within the heart of every living being, as Paramatma, the four-handed Vishnu form. The yoga process is practiced in order to discover and see this localized form of Vishnu, and not for any other purpose. The localized Vishnumurti, or form of the Lord in the heart, is the plenary representation of Krishna dwelling within one's heart. One who has no program to realize this Vishnumurti is uselessly engaged in mock yoga practice and is certainly wasting his time. Krishna is the ultimate goal of life, and the Vishnumurti, situated in one's heart, is the object of yoga practice. To realize this Vishnumurti within the heart, one has to observe complete abstinence from sex life. Therefore, one has to leave home and live alone in a secluded place, remaining seated, as mentioned above. One cannot enjoy sex life daily at home or elsewhere and attend the so-called yoga class and thus become a yogi. One has to practice controlling the mind and avoiding all kinds of sense gratification, of which sex life is the chief. In the rules of celibacy written by the great sage Yajnavalkya, it is said, Karmana manasa vacha sarva vastasu sarvada sarvatra maituna tyago brahmacharyam prachakshate. The vow of brahmacharya is meant to help one completely abstain from sex indulgence in work, words, and mind, at all times, under all circumstances, and in all places. No one can perform correct yoga practice through sex indulgence. Brahmacharya is taught, therefore, from childhood on, when one has no knowledge of sex life. Children, at the age of 5, are sent to the Gurukula, or the place of the spiritual master, and the master trains the young boys in the strict discipline of becoming brahmacharis. Without such practice, no one can make advancement in any yoga, whether it be dhyana, jnana, or bhakti. One who, however, follows the rules and regulations of married life, grihastha, having sexual relationship only with his wife, and that also under regulation, is also called brahmachari. Such a restrained householder brahmachari may be accepted in the bhakti school, but the jnana and jnana schools do not admit even householder brahmacharis. They require complete abstinence without compromise. In the bhakti school, a householder brahmachari is allowed controlled sex life because the cult of bhakti yoga is so powerful that one automatically loses sexual attraction being engaged in the superior service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavacham rasopyasya param trishtva nivartate. Whereas others are forced to restrain themselves from sense gratification, a devotee of the Lord automatically refrains because of superior taste. Other than the devotee, no one has any information of that superior taste. Vigatabhi. One cannot be fearless unless one is fully in Krishna consciousness. A conditioned soul is fearful due to his perverted memory, his forgetfulness of his eternal relationship with Krishna. The Bhagavatam says, Bhayam dvitiya vinivesetasyat ishat apetasya vipareyo smriti. Krishna consciousness is the only basis for fearlessness. Therefore, perfect practice is possible for a person who is Krishna conscious. And since the ultimate goal of yoga practice is to see the Lord within, a Krishna conscious person is already the best of all yogis. The principles of the yoga system mentioned herein are different from those of the popular so-called yoga societies. Samam kaya chiro grivam tharayan achalam stira Sampreksha Nasikagram Svam Dishas Chanava Lokayam Prasantatma Vigatavir Brahmachari Pratestitaha Manaksam Yamya Machchito Yukta Asita Matpara. One should hold one's body, neck and head erect in a straight line and stare steadily at the tip of the nose. Thus with an unagitated, subdued mind, devoid of fear, completely free from sex life, one should meditate upon me within the heart and make me the ultimate goal of life. Omakyatimaranyasya kananchana salakyam chakshur unmilitam yena tasma shi gurave namaha si chaitanya manobistam snapitam yena bhutale svayam rupakadamayam tadati svapadantikam mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayati karim yat kripatam maham vande shi gurum dinataranam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Have some water? Anibal, Anibal, bring her some water, Tani.
So we're still in this chapter of Krishna explaining the process of yoga. The Ashtanga Yoga, also known as Ashtanga Yoga or Raja Yoga. This is a bona fide process. It's a Vedic process for a certain class of people who have an inclination to retire from the job, from society, family, responsibility. So they can renounce or retire to a solitary place. Not to a busy place where there's a lot of noise. It should be a solitary place. Because for meditation, it's different than Sankirtan. Sankirtan you can do everywhere. There's no hard and fast rules to chant the holy name loudly. Right? Because everyone chants together loud. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we will not, the chanter will not hear anything else than the holy name. That's the perfect yoga for this age. Described in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam states, those who are intelligent in the Kali Yuga, they worship Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna, but not blackish. Akrishnam. But he comes in a golden complexion. And how we can recognize him? Because he's always chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Loudly he chants. Lord Chaitanya never in meditation chanted. Only in the public, loudly. Only when he was retired in a lonely place, in the Gambira, then with his very confidential devotees, he was hearing and relishing about very intimate topics of Krishna's pastime, Rasa Lila, his loving pastimes here in Vrindavan. So Lord Chaitanya was very happy about that. But he didn't discuss this in public. In public, only Sankirtan was the topic. The loud chanting of the holy name, Krishna Nam. So Lord Chaitanya came as the first purpose as an external reason to spread this holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, in every town and village all over the world. That was the prophecy. The prophecy that in every town and village the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will be chanted. So Lord Chaitanya, he started the motion. He's the Sankirtan Pita, the father of the Sankirtan movement. Achana lampito bhuchau kanakava datau Sankirtanai kapitaro kamalaya takshau Vishvambaro dvichavaro yoga dharma palau Vande jagapriyakaro karuna avatarau. The whole universe is very thankful to that avatar of Lord Chaitanya, because he freely distributed the holy name together with his own love, the prema, his own Krishna prema. He was distributing together with the holy name. So this is called premanam. And it's only in one day of Brahma. It's a very rare opportunity that the Lord Chaitanya avatar comes. Krishna comes personally. Normally another avatar comes, a Vishnu avatar as Lord Chaitanya, but he only induces Harinam without prema. But in this time, in this specific yuga, just after the descent of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, same Krishna appeared again. And this time, he didn't want to restrict and only give it or share it with some confidential associates here in Vrindavan. He wanted to make it known to everyone, in every town and village all over the world. He wanted to give this holy name. So this is the great mercy, therefore, and unique opportunity that Lord Chaitanya is giving, and also our disciplic succession, to connect everyone with the premanam, with the loving, affectionate chanting of the holy name. Not just leering down, chanting down, japaing down our mantra, and then after 16 rounds hang it up on a hook. And then the rest of the day we'll forget. And even during the chanting time, we are always nervous, looking this side, looking on that side, looking up, looking down, looking this, looking inside and outside. Everywhere we're looking around, monitoring. It's called monitor japa. So this is not recommended to chant. Monitor japa. It should like the yogis, the same process. Yoga means absorption, dhyana. Of course, as long as the mind is not trained, as long the mind is not clear, and we cannot, and as long we don't have the faith, the shraddha, to keep the mind and the senses fixed on one point, ekanta bhakti. Because only the ekanta bhakti, the bhakti, single-mindedly fixed on Krishna's lotus feet, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. Only this process is called fixed devotional service, or also known as anukulena bhakti. Like Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is explaining, that anyabilasita shunyam jnana karma adi anavritam anukulena shilanam bhakti uttama anukulena krishna shilanam bhakti uttama. Only that devotion bhakti who is not mixed with any karma or jnana or yoga, even yoga, is not actually satisfying the soul. That also Narad Muni, the first slokas in the sixth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam of first canto, Narad Muni appears in the ashram of Vyasadeva. Yeah. Yesterday was very sad. He was contemplating something I did wrong. He was not happy. He thought something I did wrong. Although he wrote so many books, compiled so many literatures, Mahabharata, he divided the four Veda, the one Veda in four, with the Upanishads, the Vedanta Sutra, Mahabharata, Itihasa, many Puranas he wrote. But he still was not satisfied. So Narad Muni appeared, because his embodiment of bhakti, his only purpose is to spread Ekanta bhakti without any compromise. That's his only satisfaction. That's the blessing that he received from Krishna, that he only has a desire to always speak and glorify Krishna wherever he goes and never forgets him. So Narada Muni is completely absorbed in that transcendental Sankirtan mission. And that's also yoga. Preaching is also yoga and Sankirtan yoga. Prachar. Glorifying Krishna. Reading books about Krishna is also kirtan. It's also chanting. Preaching is chanting. So Narada Muni, he told to Sri Vyasadeva, because Vyasadeva he also recommended in some parts of his books about yoga, about the Astanga or Raja Yoga process, so that also in the Vedanta Sutra and in other scriptures this yoga process is described in the Upanishads. And Narada Muni, he says, undoubtedly, the yoga path will help the mind to become peaceful, to become fearless, to lose his lusty attempts, contemplating many things to try to enjoy. But one thing is missing. And therefore the yogi or the soul in the heart of the yogi will not be satisfied, because the yogi is not endeavoring for prema. He's not endeavoring for love to Krishna. And there's two kinds of love to Krishna. Those who like to enjoy love to Krishna. And those who love Krishna spontaneously and just want to serve him in any capacity, in any way, without any false designation. Sarvupati viniyamuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti uchate, without any upadi. For him it's not important. I have a stamp as a temple president, as a manager, head pujari, I'm a kirtaniya, I'm a preacher, I'm a great literate, a philosopher, or I'm even guru, or I'm a GBC, a temple president, a temple commander. All these titles, actually for a devotee, is not a need. Because these titles doesn't help the devotee to achieve Krishna Prem. Therefore, if one only tries to get position and titles, even sannyas title, or this title or that title, then they just become attached to the title, but not to the Krishna Prem. And Krishna can easily give you, awarding you with all these different positions, but he keeps prema back. Because prema, love to Krishna, is rarely achieved. Because it bounds Krishna to the loving devotee who without false motivation, selfishness, loves Krishna. A devotee who is in the highest prema to Krishna, for him, even loving ecstasy, symptoms, is a disturbance. Like Daruka is given as an example, servant of Krishna. Sometimes he felt so much great ecstasy in serving the Lord by fanning him with the chamara that the tears were flowing down and his hands started to shiver. Not because of a disease, because of ecstasy. They started to shiver. And he thought, oh, this shivering is disturbing my service to Krishna. I cannot please Krishna. I cannot serve him properly. Therefore, he controlled his ecstasy, his shivering, so that he was not shivering, that he could fan him properly. But there's one kind of prema bhakta, who can also come from the yoga, platform. No? But he only wants to enjoy Krishna prema. But he's not acting in devotional service for the pleasure of the Lord, selflessly. A devotee of Krishna prema, in all circumstances, if he feels happy or unhappy, healthy or diseased, he serves Krishna. With his body, with his mind, with his words, with all his capacity. And this kind of love and attachment to Krishna and to Krishna's service is so strong that the devotee gets extraordinary powers and opportunities from Krishna to do so much service, what a normal person cannot do. Sometimes 24 hours and even more, they can serve and become completely absorbed in devotional service without practically becoming tired. Of course, physical body may become tired, but the devotee, he doesn't sometimes feel because of his intense absorption in devotional service. This is a higher energy. Therefore, bhakti is under internal energy. It's not a material energy. Because with the material energy, we cannot serve Krishna, we cannot attract Krishna, we cannot attain Krishna. With mystical powers also we cannot attain Krishna. With a lot of knowledge we cannot attain Krishna, we cannot understand him. Krishna only becomes conquered by devotion. Bhakti ham ekaha graya. Bhakti mama bhajanati yavanya sasmi tatvataha. So only by bhakti we can know Krishna in truth. Therefore, we should never miss this goal. That's the main goal. We are not maybe there, but we should keep it as a goal, Krishna prem. It's not unachievable. Otherwise, it would not be written in our books. If only one part of the book is practical and achievable for us and the rest is not achievable, then why we have to read these books and even distribute them to people who are not even starting bhakti? So that means the bhakti process in full is realistic. It's a science. It's a process. But we have to start it sincerely under the guidance of the spiritual master, with sincerity and with determination, with seriousness, and with enthusiasm. And surrender to the spiritual master. Because if the spiritual master sees that the disciple is sincere and very attached to him and to his instruction, the spiritual master gives him all blessing that even the impossible thing the devotee can understand and he can practice and realize in his spiritual life. So this bhakti... As Narad Muni says, this is unique. The karmis, jnanis, and the yogis, they cannot aspire for bhakti because they have all karma. They all have some desires, either for sex life, for family life, for success, for mystical achievements, for jnana, for achieving knowledge. It's all desire. Getting titles, professor titles, even yoga titles, Maharishi title, and so on. Also the yogis have titles. There's, for example, an eternal fight, you know, between Vashishta and Vishvamitra, because they're fighting since time immemorial. Because Vishvamitra, he wanted to become a Maharishi, great yogi, great rishi, like Vashishta, who was the son of Brahma. But Vishvamitra, he was a Kshatriya. But he wanted, because he was so attracted to the mystical power of Vashishta, that he also desired to become a yogi. And for that he performed so much tapasya. 60,000 years is described. He took upon himself the tapasya. Self-control, sense control. That he, for the purpose to become a Maharishi, a great sage. This title, that he gets this title. But he could not get it. Even after 60,000 years. And he fell down because he became allured by Menaka. Again, he performed austerities for another many thousand years. And then ultimately he got the title of a yoga stage, but he still was not satisfied. He was always in competition with another yogi. Like the sages also, they're always in competition with other sages. Tarko pratishta shrutayo vibhina. They're never in union. They always have different opinions. Because no sage, no philosopher, no rishi, even in Vedic time, could become recognized without establishing his own thesis, his own philosophy, and establishing a better philosophy than his previous philosophers or contemporary philosophers. And this is going on all over the world, this competition of intellectual Olympics or sports, who can be the best. But this is all wasting time for a devotee. Devotee should not waste time with all these different kinds of allurements here in this material world. He should only aspire for prema, for the love to Krishna. Because, of course, we cannot attain it with sadhana, but we can try through sadhana given by the spiritual master, following the process of yama and niyama, our rules and regulations given by Rupa Goswami, and engage our senses, our mind, our words in the service of Krishna, in the service of the spiritual master's mission. And in this way, the mind naturally will become purified, the senses become purified, and one will become attracted to a certain process of bhakti who is very dear to Krishna. And then one engages in that level of devotional service, but ultimately will lead to the bhava, to transcendental ecstatic symptoms, and prema, love to Krishna. This we cannot attain by sadhana. It is sadhya. It is already given. Nitya siddha Krishna prem shuddha karanoi shravanadi shuddha chitte koryodoi. So it is inert. It is the soul has inherited this love to Krishna, but it is hidden now. It is covered because of so many identification with the material world, with the material concept. But if we hear and chant and remember Krishna, ultimately going deeper and deeper in Krishna consciousness, then this ignorance fades away. It fades away, it becomes unimportant. It's still there, but it is unimportant for the devotee. And ultimately, the devotee completely forgets himself. He forgets all the bodily conception and needs of the body. Like the yogi also, he forgets completely. But the yogi, instead that he fixes his mind of Krishna, Shyama Sundar, Venum kvanantam aravinda talaya taksham parhavatam sam asidam buddha sundarangam. Kantarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham govinda mati porisham tamaham bachami. Venum kvanantam aravinda talaya taksham parhavatam sam asidam buddha sundarangam. So, Shyamasundar is very beautiful, three curved form. And the devotee is completely absorbed in that transcendental form of the Lord. Meditating in the heart. The yogi meditates about the forearm form of Lord Vishnu, Paramatma, in the heart. But the result will be that he will either merge in Brahman or can rarely attain Vaikuntha. He will attain this kind of liberation because he is satisfied with liberation, with mukti. Therefore, they must be called mukti yogis. Because many devotees, they even don't know about the goal of yoga. Therefore, as Prabhupada is pointing out, they're just engaging in all kinds of gymnastic in the yoga studio. And they think this is yoga. Nowadays, yoga is big fashion. It becomes very popular everywhere. But the people who are going there, they don't know the real purpose of yoga because the yoga teachers are not teaching them the real purpose. They don't know it themselves. And if they would teach it, nobody would come. They would not come. They will not earn money with it. So they only speak about health yoga, power yoga, yoga, how to increase your sexual power, like that, by kundalini, and all kinds of tantric, actually not Raja Yoga processes they're teaching. They're self-invented, or made from other scriptures, not tantra scriptures, who are in tamasa, who are meant for those who are on the bodily conception of life and want to remain on that concept. But Raja Yoga, by Patanjali Yoga, this yoga system, this Vedic system, is actually meant to meditate about the super soul. Patanjali, he gives five yamas and five niyamas. The five yamas. Yamas means rules. Niyama means regulation. The five yamas or rules are first ahimsa. It means a yogi has to become non-violent. It means has to be a vegetarian naturally. Non-violent, don't express any violence internally, outside. Then satya, he has to be truthful, honest, truthful. Asteya, he shall not steal. He shall not steal or have a mentality to get steal something, to get some benefit for himself in one way or another. Doesn't have to be money. Can be anything. And another one is brahmacharya, celibacy. And other one, aparigraha, freedom from possessiveness. It means a yogi has no possessions, only that what he wears, and the little things what he needs, for his maintenance, But it's up maximum minimum. Sometimes they don't even have minimum; they have just nothing, not even dress. They're naked, naga babas. They have nothing. So they have no possessiveness. So these are the five yamas. And then there are five niyamas. Saucham, that means he should be internally and externally clean. Santosh, he should be satisfied. He should not be greedy. Satisfied in himself and with the situation. He should not do yoga out of frustration because he lost everything, and so now anyway I'm a loser, so I go now to practice some yoga, maybe I will attain some popularity. People will come to me and they will give me some donations, some dakshin, and so in this way I can maintain my life. So that's not yogi, he's bogi. And then tapasya, he should be following strict austerity. In the cold weather and in the heat weather, he's not disturbed. He's performing every day at a regulated time, his sadhana of yoga exercise and practice of different levels of yoga. And then the other one is svadhyaya. Svadhyaya, he studies the Vedic scriptures and Ishvara Pranidhana, meditation on the Supreme Lord. So even Patanjali Yogi, Patanjali Muni, the propounder of the Raja Yoga, Astanga Yoga system, he's recommending to fix our mind on the personal form of the Lord in the heart, not on some impersonal or some point or some picture or something that you can imagine. No, he says, Ishvara, Ishvara Pranadana. So he should meditate about the Ishvara. Ishvara means the Super Soul, Paramatma, Parameshvara. He's the Ishvara in the heart. He should meditate. The yogi is recommended by Patanjali to meditate about the Super Soul within the heart. And the yogi on a certain level, after mastering, conquering the allurements of Maya, it's through mechanical process of asana, after yama and yamas, these five and five yama and yamas, there are asanas, there are 32 main asanas, and svastik asana and singhasana. Svastik asana is very much used by the yogis, most popular. And then after asana comes pranayama, breathing exercises, controlling the breathing, in breathing in, breathing out, stopping breathing. One point even, he can stop breathe. So in this way he can actually prolong his life. Therefore a yogi, due to his lifestyle, he can live very long, healthy life, never becomes diseased. I knew some yogis. Whenever they got some disease, they just did some meditation over the night, and next day they were already healthy again. Without taking medicine. So that they have these powers, they have these mystical powers through their pranayama and yoga exercises, that they can remove diseases from their body if they temporarily appear. Therefore they can live for a very long time. And they're very satisfied. Santushta is described here. The yogi is Santushta. He's very satisfied. Prasannatma. He doesn't have any demands anymore. He's not greedy for even if you give him a plate of Mahaprasadam, he will not feel attracted to eat the whole plate. Sometimes devotees were very greedy to eat whole plate or even take second to fill up belly more and more. Yogi will never do that. He has this discipline to control himself. But that gives him also a little proud. It makes him a little proud. Oh, I'm not allured with the devotee's prasad. Therefore, I'm better. Therefore, certain yogis, they consider yoga process, yoga sadhana better than the sadhana of the Vaishnavas, of deity worship and like that. Because the Vaishnavas, they get always a lot of Mahaprasadam and a lot of things that they can relish and enjoy in relation with the deity worship.
Therefore, the yogi sometimes becomes proud and confident. We are better. Our sadhana is better because we're not attached to all these things. But the problem what the yogi is facing, he is actually forgetting what I already mentioned, the main point, to feel the attraction to the Lord, to love the Lord. And the yogi, who only becomes attracted to his sadhana, to his practice, to his austerity, to his sense control, mind control, to his peacefulness, shanti, to prasanatma, then he easily can become self-satisfied and will not endeavor for any more further progress in his sadhana or higher achievements of the yoga process. Because the next allurement of the yogi will be siddhis, mystical perfections. And then many become allured, and then they stop to progress. So wherever one becomes attached in the yoga process, then you will hang there, you cannot make further progress. So he will accordingly then be known as a yogi, either in pranayama, perfection, or in siddhi, who achieve certain siddhis like that, but he cannot attain the higher stage of samadhi. Actually, samadhi is not even considered a higher stage. That we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam, from third canto, in the teachings of Kapila Dev. Above the samadhi, that's the stage what the Kashyapa Muni achieved, was the love, the absorption in Krishna. The love, the devotional service what the yogi performs in the heart. So that means he's not just absorbed in samadhi, in inertness, or in completely, shanta, without any, without any active service. So the more advanced yogi on the ninth level of yoga is engaging in devotional service in his mind, in his meditation. So therefore, but these kind of yogis are very, very rare. These bhakti yogis, they're called bhakti yogis. Actually, bhakti is always a part of yoga. Because if yoga has no bhakti included, it's a waste of time. But the problem is, a yogi, he accepts bhakti until to a certain stage as a helper, assisting his progress towards liberation. And in the end, on the perfect stage, of siddha stage, he gives up bhakti. That's also described in the third canto. Then the unfortunate yogi, who attains practically the meditation about Vishnu, he gives up the process of worshipping Vishnu. How? Because he identifies himself with him. And this merge wants to, this develops the desire to merge in the body of Vishnu, committing spiritual suicide. That's the unfortunate yogi, what Kapila Dev describes in the 28th chapter, I think. Of the yoga process, how the yogi transfers in his meditation up, and he comes practically attains the platform of Vishnu meditation, but in one point he's giving it up. He cannot keep the mind fixed on Krishna. So he's losing his attention to loving further progress in active devotional service, and he slips away and hangs on his devotion, on his process of yoga to ultimately attain liberation or becoming one with God. Sayuja Mukti, Ekatma, to become one with the Lord. This is never desired by any kind of Vaishnava from any Sampradaya. Sometimes in some sampradayas, other four muktis in Vaikuntha are may accepted, like to live in the same planet of the Lord, have the same body as the Lord, to become an associate of the Lord and enjoy the same opulences as the Lord. Is sometimes accepted or desired by some devotees, but the pure devotee not even accepting that. They only accept it if it is Krishna's desire, if it is favorable to, and pleasing to him. But for their own benefit, that they will attain liberation in the Vaikuntha and the same, to live with the Lord in the same planet and have same body as the Lord, is not a desire. If it is only enjoyable for themselves, that's, they consider that, that selfish. Then they prefer, like Lord Chaitanya says, that's Gaudiya mood. Janmani Janmanishvari Bhava Bhaktir Ahaituki Dvayi. Life after life. Nadanamna Chanamna Sundarim. Kavitam Vachakadisha Kamaye. Mama Janmani Janmanishvari Bhavata Bhaktir Ahaituki Dvayi. So the devotee is not desiring for education, for nice wife, a lot of money or opulences, good education. He only desires the loving devotional service, life after life. That is Lord Chaitanya's mood. That is Gaudiya mood. Therefore, for the devotee, if the Lord wants to keep him in the material world, he is gladly to stay in the material world, even going to hell, if he has a mission there. And if the Lord desires to take him with to him, then the devotee goes there, of course. So he leaves it in the hand of the Lord. So a devotee who is selfless, who has no personal or selfish desires, he can in any place, circumstances, serve Krishna without becoming allured or bewildered. He's steady, he's always satisfied and fixed and enthusiastic, following the process of the main limbs of devotional service, with the mind always fixed on Krishna. And in this fixation of Krishna, he also becomes very steady. He's not monitoring around as by chanting. He's always keeping his head also peaceful. Sometimes we're shaking our beepak like that, or our heads like that, swinging around, or like that, to keep ourselves somehow or other awake. But the yogi keeps it very straight, very peaceful, fixing the mind on the super soul in the heart. And so as devotee, we can also learn from this discipline to chant in more peaceful, in a more not movable way. Like Prabhupada also, you hear sometimes on a tape, and japa tape, that we should not fall, sit properly. Don't sleep, sit properly. Because if we don't sit properly, then we blockade our pranas. And we don't breathe properly, we blockade our energy, and then we fall asleep. We become dizzy, and we cannot fix our mind on mantra. We also have to learn this exercise to fix, to sit straight, not moving around much. Like this, and with the head, but chant peacefully and sitting down, and like a yogi, chant, instead of meditation, we chant japa, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the power from this kind of japa is you can chant more than 16 rounds. You can chant double as much, you can chant 1,64 rounds, or like Haridas Thakur, 300,000 times. Holy name chanting, so it is possible. Some devotees, by practice, they can attain that. Only problem is, again, we become attached to numbers and become proud. Oh, I'm chanting 32 rounds, I'm chanting 64, 1 leg, 2 leg, 3 leg. I'm better than others. We can also feel proud then in ourselves, and then actually we cannot absorb. We don't get the result of loving devotion because of feeling proud of our kind of many rounds we're chanting, how many books I'm distributing, how much donation I'm giving. This is all unimportant. If we chant it, we should chant it selfless. If we distribute books, it's selfless. If we are, if we give donations, it's selfless. Like I always told, when I distribute the books, you can distribute 100, 200, 300 books in one day. But the next day, you start with zero. You cannot think, oh, last day I distributed 300 books. And so now, today, I do the same. And I also will can distribute 300 books. But it will never happen like that. Because Sankirtan or book distribution is not mechanical. Chanting is not mechanical. To giving a donation, even that is not mechanical. It is devotional service. That means without expectation, without attachment to the result or awards or recognition. Doesn't matter. It's not in our hand. We just do this as a seva. And the basic of all seva is chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And according to that, we can give donation, we can go and distribute books, we can worship deities without being attached to any possessions or any kinds of position or awards or titles. It's all not the main thing for a devotee. It's actually not important for a devotee at all. He even sees it as an obstacle in his love to Krishna. It's many things Prabhupada could say about this verse, a long purport. Prabhupada also is pointing out about Grihastha. The Grihastha, although he has a wife and maybe children or house, bank balance and everything, but because he engages everything in the service of Krishna, following the rules of regulation of Grihastha Ashrama, then he's also considered a brahmacharya. It's not that the brahmacharya wears saffron is necessarily a brahmacharya. Because one has to follow certain rules and behavior. A strict brahmacharya should not even think about women. He should not dream about women. He should not make plans in this direction. There's eight principles or points what a brahmachari makes. So it's not just the dress or the changing of dress and symbols. That's external. So Grihastha can also be a brahmachari if he engages with his family together in Krishna service. It's adhikari. Therefore Grihastha is adhikari. One who shows by example how to serve Krishna with his family. Another word for adhikari means is actually advanced devotee. Of course, the devotee doesn't think I'm advanced, but he is fixed in his ashrama. So it doesn't ultimately matter if we are brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha or sannyasi. Important is that we are follow the principles of our ashrama and in the same time engage in devotional service. And that's the main. Ashrama and also varna is secondary. Not secondary. Main duty is bhakti. Ninefold Process of Bhakti Yoga, or actually 64 items of Bhakti Yoga, and from them 5 are most important. And to do this every day, this is Nitya Seva. This Angas, described by Rupa Goswami, Nitya, the eternal. Like chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's not only now here and then in the spiritual world, it's everything silent. Yogis sometimes also chant, they worship deities, but not Nitya. They don't see it as Nitya, they see it as temporary. And they give it up at one point. But the devotee, you understand, it's Nitya, Kirtan is eternal. It's in the spiritual world also going on. Here in Bhagavatam, Krishna Katha is eternal. It's going on in the spiritual world also. To worship deity, to worship the Lord. The deity is not different from the Lord. And therefore, for a pure devotee who has a realization and an attachment to the deity worship, he realizes the deity is not different from Krishna. It is actually Krishna. Like the holy name is not different from Krishna, so the deity form Archa Vigraha is also not different from Krishna, from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore he can have a very personal relationship with the deity. It's not just routine work of worshipping a statue. It's Nitya. It's eternal and it's very pleasing and it's always increasing this pleasure. It's very ecstatic. But it's not forgotten out of ecstasy, the service. The service always is main. To live in a holy place, like Vrindavan, it's also one of the 5 most important angas. So it's also eternal. In the spiritual world, also there's a holy place. Goloka, Gokul, Goloka is the same. It's a place where Krishna is residing. And the association of devotees, Bhakta Sangha, it's also in the spiritual world. So whatever we do now here in our practice of sadhana bhakti, it's Nitya. In the spiritual world it will go on. It's not that there everything will stop. No, it will become even more intense. And more real. And even in this life it becomes real and realer and realer until the devotee sees as what is actually real and what I see in the material world now. He sees no difference anymore. He sees this is identical. Therefore for a devotee it doesn't matter if Krishna is if they feel separation of Krishna or in union with Krishna. Sometimes even we can see that the separation of Krishna intensifies even union with Krishna so much that the devotee is so much absorbed in Krishna that even when Krishna would appear before the devotee, the devotee would think, is this now Krishna? Now it becomes bewildered. He will not see this is the Krishna now, and he will give up his meditation or his service to his Krishna. No? Because there's no difference. It's very difficult. Sorry, it's very difficult to express in words. But there are many acharyas, like Vishwanath Chakravarti in his book, describing that. And also Sanatana Goswami in Brihadbhagavatamrita very nicely describes it. So if you read these books, everything will become clear. And then it's only a question that we believe it and that we are learn from these books under the direction of the spiritual master to absorb more and more in this wonderful Krishna conscious process. Eternal process, giving our full attention in that process. what more to say. Yeah, maybe some question.
Prabhu.
Yeah.
While conducting the Hare Krishna Japa.
Huh?
While conducting the Japa, Hare Krishna Mantra, if we are allowed to remain while conducting Hare Krishna Japa,
yeah.
If I get chance only alone in a room and looking to Prabhupada, yeah, or we will see, then probably the vision will not go here and there. But we are expected to do in association of all devotees who are also sitting in the nearby, all side. Then another suggestion may be that eyelid is half closed or eye is completely closed. These are the three or four possibles I can see. Can you kindly suggest how to control the vision so that we will not having a disturbing visions while conducting the and second question.
Can we first answer this one? First. That is actually a very good point question. On what to fix during japa time. So there's different things what are recommended. We can chant in front of deity, Thakurji, Archa Vigraha, like Krishna Balarama Radhishyam, Gonitai. You can sit in front of the deities and chanting japa. Or in your home also. You sit just peacefully in front of your deity in a comfortable sitting posture, straight, japa, like that, and you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Right. But that is, I also told you, in alone one can do that. But we have been advised to conduct japa in association of all the devotees during the morning time.
Yeah, for new devotees this is okay, but it's not that that one always has to chant only with other devotees together. I never heard such a kind of injunction. Japa, kirtan, yes, but japa you can chant in any time, any place, any circumstances, with many people, with many devotees, or with also alone. Alone is difficult because you cannot observe yourself. You cannot see if you are attentive or if you fall asleep. If you have many devotees around with whom you chant, then most probably if they are all attentive and not also fall asleep, then you can improve your chanting. Because it is described, if you want to improve your chanting, you should chant with somebody who has a nice taste, a nice absorption in chanting. For younger devotees, it's recommended to learn with older devotees chant. Because also we have the tendency to give up chanting. That we have not the endurance to chant 16 rounds in one time. But if you go early in the morning and meeting devotees after Mangalartik and Tulsi Puja, and you chant 16 rounds together with the devotees until Guru Puja or deity greetings, then you are encouraged. If you are at home, maybe you think, I don't have to take this so strict. I can also take a little rest between. I can also do something else between. But in the temple you can learn, you know, how to chant first of all. 16 rounds, you know. And if you can do this for some time, it gives you a very, very great realization of Krishna consciousness. Makes you very strong, very stable, very steady. But sometimes we also will somebody maybe will prefer to chant alone if you are fixed. So that's not forbidden. If you are fixed in chanting, you can also chant alone.
So Goswami told like that. In the temple you have to come at 4 a.m. but you rise at 2 a.m. and complete your japa before that. Then these things will be regularized. This is prescription. Anyway, now let us come to this sloka. In this sloka you see the sampeksha has been translated as looking. By keeping the body near and head straight, can anybody see the tip of his nose? Or can anybody see his heart? Where the Lord is expected to be seen? How do you reconcile this?
Actually, this you mean the fixing on the nose. That's only beginning to learn how to concentrate the mind. But in the end, you know, you should not fix on your nose, because that's not the goal of your concentration. It's only a point to learn how to become more concentrated. Sometimes it's also recommended to fix on the between the eyebrows, on this point here, between, because that's a concentration point here between the eyebrows. Here in this place, this is a concentration place. So therefore, we can also concentrate on that point during.
One cannot see these two points.
Huh?
No one can see his own nose or his point.
That's an imagination. You know. You cannot see your nose. I see my nose. I can see tip of my nose. If I look like that, I see the tip of the nose. But I actually don't use this process. This is not our process. I prefer to fix either on deity or on a picture of a deity, or you can chant before a picture of Guru Maharaj or Srila Prabhupada, or you can Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends to learn how to become concentrated to cover yourself. Or to sit in a dark room so that the senses will not become disturbed or allured by the monitoring around. But this is our only exercise. It's not perfection, it's only help. It helps us to become concentrated. But ultimately we have to learn to fix the concentration on the Lord Shyama Sundar in our heart.
Yam Shama Sundaram Gunasvarupam. How one can see by remaining straight his heart also?
It's not a how-to question. It will be revealed.
What is in mind?
It will be revealed.
It will be revealed.
It will be revealed. He's already there, but we cannot see because our senses of mind is polluted. We are still in the wrong movie.
What is the physical significance of the word reveal?
What is the
physical significance? Physically, how do you explain it?
Physically?
How do you explain the reveal?
How it will reveal?
What explanation of the reveal?
How it will reveal? Reveal means that Krishna will reveal it. The yoga, bhakti yoga process will reveal it.
And revelation is possible in mind, but not in the front of anything. Revealing?
No, the mind, as long as the mind is impure, you cannot see Krishna, perceive Krishna. So therefore, first we have to purify the mind. And to purify the mind, we need the mercy of Balaram. Balaram mercy. He gives us the power and the purity to understand Krishna, to realize Krishna. Balaram is Sankarshan, he reveals Krishna. Tike? Understand? It's Balaram who reveals Krishna. He attracts Krishna to you. That's his service to Krishna. He's the supreme servitor of Godhead. So if you are pleasing Balaram or Guru, who is representative of Balaram, you can in this way become connected with Krishna. That's our only link. Otherwise you have no chance. With our own endeavor, we have no chance. We will fail. If we fail, we will fall back to our past habits. So this Guru, Balaram, who is giving us this power and purity and this knowledge, who will reveal Krishna. That will reveal Krishna. And without that, we have no chance. If we want to understand Krishna and see Krishna with our imperfect, impure senses, then we become pretenders. Then we become Prakriti Sahajya. Sahajya is not a problem. But Prakriti Sahajya is a problem. You know the difference? Prakriti Sahajya means somebody who has some sentiment, some feeling, some love, some connection with Krishna. He's Sahajya. Sahajya. But this is desirable. This is desirable, Sahajya. To be Sahajya, to have a relationship and a feeling with Krishna. But Prakriti Sahajya is not desirable. Because Prakriti Sahajya means he imagines something in relation with Krishna, but mixed with his bodily conception, with Prakriti. He's still in the bodily conception. He's still impure. He still has material, selfish desires. Therefore, Prakriti Sahajya is cheating himself. That's not bhakti. That's just some imitation of higher stages of ecstatic love to Krishna. But Sahajya itself is not bad. But Prakriti Sahajya, this is materialistic. This is contempt. Okay, Professor? Okay? You can recognize what is pleasing to Krishna by following process of Guru Sadhu Shastra. So the scriptures, like Rupa Goswami, you see how Nectar of Devotion or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is built up. Yeah, Rupa Goswami, he gives certain statement, but then to prove the statement, you know, he gives authority of Shastra and the Mahajanas who spoke or to whom this was revealed by Krishna. So, and therefore, if you follow the footsteps of the Mahajanas and the Shastra, statements of Shastra, Vidhi, and the Mahajana who established the Vidhi in practice, then that's pleasing to Krishna. The Krishna accepts this process and becomes pleased with such a servant.
Мой вопрос был, что если я служение Кришне, то должен быть не только служение Кришне, но если служение Кришне, которое я совершаю, не знаю, доволен ли им Кришна, может быть, и оно и не доставляет удовольствие Кришне, тогда какой смысл в моем служении? Или у меня нет еще такого уровня, чтобы доставить им удовольствие своим служением? И Махарадж говорит, что нужно читать книги, как Рупа Госвами, когда он в своих книгах дает какое-то утверждение, то он приводит доказательства этого утверждения, цитаты из других шастр, Пуран, и также пример Махаджан, которые следовали этому и достигли чего-то. Поэтому если ты следуешь этому строго в соответствии с тому, как написано, тогда ты можешь быть уверен, что Кришна этим удовлетворен.
And you also feel in your heart, you feel in your heart, no, that there's some relationship to Krishna, some, with the time some feeling with, to Krishna will be established. And that's a sign that Krishna is pleased with you. He accepted you as his servant because you followed the process of Guru Sadhu Shastra. Those who try to directly go to Krishna, Krishna will not reveal. But if you follow Guru Sadhu Shastra, Krishna will reveal. Krishna will accept your service. And he will give you a further symptoms or encouragement that this is not theoretically, that's not an illusion what you are following here. Okay,
and you said Balaram, the Balaram is the actual, the real connection with Krishna. His service is to offer devotees.
Yeah, he's the connection, is Sankarshan.
Sankarshan
means who is not different from Krishna, but who has a relationship to all living entities. He has a connection with all living entities. And therefore it is Balaram who can bring you, connect you to Krishna.
Oh, why Krishna doesn't have connection with all living entities?
What is the difference between Krishna and Balaram?
Connection with all living entities.
Yeah, through Balaram.
Through Balaram.
That means Krishna also knows.
Because
Krishna and Balaram interest is one. It's like one soul. You have to understand this a little. This is very subtle, very spiritual, subtle point, you know, of Achintya Veda, Veda Veda Tattva. Like Krishna Balaram, simultaneously one and different. And we should not think, oh, I can go to Krishna without Balaram. You should not think, I can go to Krishna without Balaram. We need mercy of Balaram. Because Balaram is very merciful.
Alright, then how do we ask for this mercy? Just by following instructions of Guru and Krishna is enough, or we have to address Balaram?
Yeah, because Balaram sends you Guru if you are ready. If you want to call you, then he sends you Guru. And in this way, he gives you information, he gives you opportunity for service, to become purified, to develop knowledge, to follow sadhana bhakti. And then through this process, Krishna become revealed.
Also
Balaram's body.
It's an expansion of Balaram.
It's no difference between Balaram body and Balaram's energy, Balaram name. Yeah, they say that everything is an expansion of Balaram because Balaram is expanding everything for the pleasure of Krishna, not for his own enjoyment. Therefore, when the devotees only want to serve Balaram without serving Krishna, this is in another mood. This is another mood. This is another mood. This is in a mood of more of Aishwarya, of very strict protocol, like Ramachandra, like other avatars. But if we are approaching Balaram in relation with Krishna, it becomes Madhurya. Clear?
Yes.
No. Therefore, the devotees never worship Balaram alone, or I now like to just become Balaram associate. Because he knows Balaram is more satisfied if he desire to become devotees of Krishna. Because Balaram himself is fixed always on Krishna. He's the supreme servitor of Godhead. Balaram is Sevya Bhagavan. As Guru Tattva. Sevya Bhagavan. So without Sevya Bhagavan, they cannot attain, Svayam Bhagavan Krishna. Sevaka Bhagava. That means the one who is the object of our service.
So, is it same equally for those who are also meditating and worshipping just Radha and Krishna and they don't talk so much about Krishna Balaram? Do they still have to have that concept and deep understanding of Balaram?
With Balaram? Or just with Radha? Yeah, there are also the only those who are fixing on Radharani. It's also wrong. Unless you are on the platform, you know, of Manjari. But if you imitate that, then you fall on the nose. You fall on the nose. So you should not just meditate about Radharani or chant Radhe. I see many here. They chant Radhe, go Parikrama, Radhe. That's a. Why they're chanting Radhe? Because Radhe means devotional service. Please give me seva. Therefore, we pray to Radharani. Give me seva to Krishna. Under your guidance. Of course, on the Manjari platform, they don't want to directly come with Krishna in contact. They only want to serve Radharani. But this is a very high level. Should not be imitated. Therefore, the Vaishnavas always worship Radha Krishna, Sitaram, Lakshmi Narayana. We are not separate Radha from Krishna or Sita from Ram. Lakshmina from Narayana. So therefore we are devotees from Radha and Krishna. And even if you want to become favored of Radharani, then you have to please Guru. You have to please Balaram. Therefore also if you want to attain love to and seva to Radha Krishna, they pray to Balaram for this kind of chance and mercy. Because Balaram, he serves Krishna in all rasas. Shantaras, Sakyaras, Vatsalya, Dasya. But in Madhurya Ras, he cannot personally participate. Because he's Purusha. He's not different from Krishna. He's the Supreme Lord. So as Lord, he cannot enter, he cannot assist Krishna in Rasa Lila. But because Balaram, he has such a great desire to serve Krishna in all different Lilas and different Rasas, so he expands from his own internal energy Ananga Manjari, the younger sister of Radharani. And in this way, this Balaram not enjoying this kind of Shakti, he's supplying this Shakti from his own energy as a service to Radha Krishna. So in this way, Balaram serves Krishna in all five rasas.
Okay? Hare Krishna, Guru Prabhupada.